As we come to God's Word, we will take a moment to look to the Lord. Let us unite our hearts again before the Lord. Our loving Father, we do thank Thee that Thy well-beloved Son is all, is everything to His people. We remember that Jacob could say, I have enough. I have all, having the God of Israel. And we pray that this day, as we come to Thy Word, that it will be with much profit that we open up the pages of Holy Writ. We pray that the words of our lips and the meditation of our hearts might be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Breathe upon us by Thy Spirit, then, we pray, and bless the word it's going forth to Thy glory. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 10, Paul has this prayer to offer, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul was a man who knew what it was to carry in his heart a burden for the work of God in so many areas. The care of the churches was constantly with him. He heard from Epaphras an encouraging report of life in the church at Colossae. What he heard caused Paul's heart to rejoice. He rejoiced in their faith in Christ, in their steadfastness, in their love the one for the other, in their hope of glory. The evident progress which they had already made moved Paul to pray on for them. He desired that they might enjoy higher and greater blessings still. He prayed in the words of this text, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In the Christian life, there must never be a settling down, a resting on our laurels. There must always be an earnest pressing on, a striving to scale new heights with God, a following on to know the Lord. There are three things mentioned in this text that we all ought to aspire after. First of all, we notice a walk that is pleasing, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We think of the course of such a walk. When you go walking, you follow a particular path, a set course. This is an unnatural course, for there are multitudes who have never any thought of God, though He be not far from every one of us. In Psalm 86 and verse 14, David laments over those who have not set the Lord before them. They have not set the Lord before them. Their creed can be summarized in two words: no God. Not knowing God, they have no desire to please Him. They are an illustration of what we read in Romans 8 and verse 8. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You who are unregenerate, you cannot walk before God so as to please Him. His displeasure rests on your ways. God is displeased by your continual rejection of His Son, the only Savior of the world. It's the sheep of the gospel fold that follow the Good Shepherd. In John 10 and verse 27, the Lord Jesus could say, "I know my sheep. They hear my voice and they follow me." Oh, if you're not one of His sheep, then I pray that you will forsake this very moment. You will forsake the paths of sin and come into the sheepfold through Christ, who said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Oh, we begin the walk that is pleasing before God. We begin it at the cross. Remember, the question is raised in Amos 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is implied. It's obvious. If you see two walking together, such a thing implies harmony, fellowship, closeness. Oh, be reconciled with God through the blood of Christ's cross and start on this course, the walk that is pleasing. The course of it, we think of the carefulness of it. We are to walk worthy of the Lord. What honor, what dignity, what a high calling has been placed on us that we should have the privilege of walking with God. That our fellowship should be with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is our high calling, and we must walk worthy of it. Saul, when he was anointed the king of Israel, Samuel told him that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and that he would be turned into another man. And being born of the Spirit of God, you have been turned into another man, another woman, a new person, a spiritual person. Jotham, he is not one of the well-known kings of Judah. Jotham is overshadowed by his father, Uzziah, and Ahaz, his son. He's overshadowed by them in our thoughts, but not in the thoughts of God. We read of Jotham in 2 Chronicles chapter 27 and the 6th verse. So Jotham became mighty. How did he become mighty? Because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Jotham set the Lord always before him. Therefore he sought always to do those things that were honoring, that were worthy of the Lord's name. Is there the same carefulness in your daily walk and mine? Do you strive to be an example of a believer in all areas of your daily living? In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 3, Paul exhorted the Christians in Corinth, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Verse 4, but in all things approving yourselves, as the ministers are the servants of God. Oh, if you do not walk worthy of the Lord, others will speak scornfully of the gospel. They will take offense at its message. They will stumble over it. Oh, may we have the walk that is pleasing. May we exercise carefulness in it. May our prayer be that the Lord would uphold our steps, that they slip not. And we walk under this constraint to please the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We are to avoid whatever is grievous, vexing, displeasing to Him. It is said of Solomon when he prayed for wisdom and craved neither riches nor honor. In 1 Kings 3 and verse 10, that the thing exceedingly pleased God. What he sought for his life exceedingly pleased God. And we remember that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, so many today live to please themselves or to please society, to please friends. The Lord is our example. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 3, we discover of the Lord that he pleased not himself. For even Christ pleased not himself. He could say, I delight to do thy will, O God. So may your prayer always be, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? May you be able to say at the close of the brief journey of this life, say with Hezekiah in Isaiah 38 and verse 3, I have walked before thee with a perfect heart, with a true heart, with a heart that delights itself in thy ways. A walk that is pleasing. But also in this text, there is a work that is productive, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. We are learning that the outcome of a walk that is pleasing is a work that is productive. Before we came to know the Lord, our lives were unprofitable. They were unfruitful. We were much like Onesimus, Philemon's runaway slave. Paul, when urging Philemon to receive Onesimus back, he acknowledges that in the past he was unprofitable. Philemon, verse 11, speaking to Philemon of Onesimus, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, since Onesimus absconded, Paul, he led him to the Lord. And he is able to go on in verse 11 and say this, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. He's fruitful now, Philemon. He will be a fruitful servant in every good work. Fruit is what the Lord desires of the branches of our lives. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 says, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? A vineyard is planted for this reason, with this aim in view, that there might be much fruit gathered in therefrom. We who are the planting of the Lord, the trees of righteousness, oh, what fruit we should be bearing on the branches of our lives. The Lord has planted us in the rich soil of his matchless grace. The people of Judah are depicted for us in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes. Oh, we have been planted in the very fruitful hill of the grace of God. And the Lord is looking at each of our lives for fruit. We've been born again of incorruptible seed, nourished by the finest of the wheat of the word, refreshed, indwelt with the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, tended by the heavenly husbandman. Oh, how fruitful our lives ought to be. And the more fruit we produce, the more glory we will bring to God. John chapter 15 and verse 8, the Lord could say, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Note the scope in this work that is productive. Being fruitful in every good work. What the bride said of the gates of the vineyard that she visited early in the morning ought to be true of us. In the Song of Solomon chapter 7 and verse 13, the bride said, at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits. There's the good fruit of witness bearing, such as the little maid performed who told Naaman how to be cured of his leprosy. And what witness bearing we see in the life of the woman of Samaria, when she went back to the men of the city and she told them, "This is the Christ. This is the Savior of the world. There's the good work of fighting the Lord's battles, as when Gideon went out against the Midianites in the name of the Lord. There's the good work of stewardship, as when the widow gave all that she had to the Lord's treasury. There's the good work of bearing one another's burdens, as when Epaphroditus jeopardized his own life to tend to the needs of Paul. The scope is unlimited. We are to be fruitful in every good work. Oh, how appropriate, how fitting, if it should be said of us as of Joseph, a fruitful bough whose branches run over the wall. May we be 30, 60, 100-fold believers being fruitful in every good work. But lastly, there is in this text a wisdom that is particular and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is an age of ever increasing knowledge. Men thirst for knowledge. In the unwearied search for it, men have penetrated the starry spaces with the telescope. They have painstakingly used the microscope, all in the search of knowledge. Proverbs 3 and verse 14 speaks of wisdom, of knowledge. The merchandise, the price of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Knowledge, Solomon tells us, is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared with it. But the highest knowledge is that spoken of here, increasing in the knowledge of God. It was a want of the knowledge of God that destroyed Israel of old. Hosea, in chapter 4 and verse 6, the Lord said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Lack of the knowledge of Himself. Our acquaintance with someone begins with an introduction. And then there's often increasing knowledge, which with time leads to an intimate knowledge between us. And that is seen in Peter's knowledge of the Savior. Andrew introduced his brother Peter to Jesus, saying, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And from that moment of Peter's conversion, there was an increasing knowledge concerning the things of the Lord. Oh, he was called on to leave the natural fishing and to take up spiritual fishing. Fishing for men. The Lord said to him, "Follow me." And as Peter followed, so his knowledge increased until he had a full an intimate acquaintance with the Lord. We know that Peter was with James and John in the Lord's presence in the house of Jairus. He was with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was with the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. And all the while, he was increasing in the knowledge of God. We know that this was Paul's crowning ambition. Oh, he was no novice. He was the mature believer when he expressed the yearning in Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I may know him. Though Paul had walked with God for years and had been fruitful in every good work, still he yearned to know more about his Lord and Savior. Philip expressed this longing in Philippians chapter 14 and verse 8. He said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And that longing brought this reproof from the lips of Christ in verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? We must apply the words of verse 9 personally. Have I been so long a follower of the Lord Jesus? And have I such a meager knowledge of him? Oh, aspire after this knowledge. Seek to obtain it in the daily systematic reading of the Word, in the daily visit to the closet where the door on the world is shut and you commune with God as friend with friend. Seek such knowledge in the Lord's house where his people gather, resting on the promise that the Lord is there in the midst. May we go on from strength to strength. Go on, as it's written of David, he went on going and growing. May we grow up into full stature in Jesus Christ, increasing in the knowledge of God. And when we do, we have the assurance that they that know God shall be strong and do exploits, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May these great truths be wrought in and wrought out in each of our lives. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake.